Welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you another day. I pray that the Lord is blessing your day as He is blessing mine. Please like us or leave us a comment on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of Help, as it is here on Blog Talk Radio, just plain old Help Relationships 102. We've been talking here lately about a very critical issue, and it is one that I'm not sure that people are aware of, the magnitude of the subject matter of this week and how it affects all of us in some shape, form, or fashion. And it has to do with our sense of self-worth. And if we don't settle that sense of self-worth, if we don't resolve it, we don't settle it, then it'll haunt us, it'll rob us. We'll never be able to settle down and enjoy life and love and all that either have to offer, because we'll be so busy trying to resolve this issue of our sense of self-esteem and our sense of self-worth that we'll never be able to actually settle down and experience and to love someone and to be loved to someone, because of my identity issues. And so when we talk about self-esteem, really referring to the identity crisis that each of us struggle with until such time as the Lord settles the issue of our sense of self-worth. And we'll find worth in each other. If I'm worth something in your eyes, if you value me, then I feel valued. And if you devalue me, then I feel devalued. We're going to talk more about that within the context of relationships on tomorrow. But for today, I want to talk about what it means to assign definition wrongly. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times, if bad things happened to you, then you can identify in being the victim, and you can take on that identity. And self-worth and self-esteem is all about your sense of identity, your sense of how you see yourself. And you could be pinned down and held back based on what you believe about yourself. And if you've been victimized, you'll see yourself, if you're not careful, you can assign definition to that and define yourself as a victim. And it carry over on you and affect everything that you do, everything you put your hand to, every relationship. When you look in the mirror, the feeling that you have over yourself, you'll feel like a victim. Say if you've been molested or you've been raped, and there'll be a sense that you'll fight if you sign definition. Well, since I've been raped, since I've been molested, since I've been rejected, since I've been abused, and then you begin to assign definition yourself. You equate it to that bad that happens to me, means that I am a X, means that I am a loser, means that I am a failure. Say you failed a lot and you've not been able to reach your goals, and you'll find yourself, if you're not careful, assigning meaning, assigning definition to yourself because you failed. And this is the problem, is what we do with that. Another way of looking at this, I know folks that are unmarried and alone, but are lonely. When you begin to unpack or begin to delve into the heart of their loneliness, they've assigned the definition of not being worthy of love or of being rejectable. So they say, you know, the reason I don't have anyone, and the definition they'll assign is because they're not worthy of love. They're ugly. They're unattractive. They're not worth loving. They're not acceptable. And they will allow those thoughts to permeate their thinking until they buy into it. And so it's all in this assigning definition, assigning meaning, drawing your own conclusion from some of the bad that may have happened to you or the bad that is happening to you. Resist the urge to assign definition. And so someone that's lonely, that's really lonely, what they'll tend to do is, in order to get out from under that, they'll go out and maybe reach out for the wrong person and do the wrong thing with the wrong people and commit themselves in wrong relationships and find love in all the wrong places and end up getting their heart broken, getting rejected, and really they're reaching out for affection. They're reaching out, even using their sex first. They're reaching out, running after people. They're really attempt to fight this definition that they've assigned from them being alone. I'm alone for a reason. It's because I'm unattractive, because my nose is too big, because I'm not worthy of love. No one loves me because I'm not lovable. I'm not, you see, and then they'll assign definition. And I have found that more often than not, the Lord will often, when a person is single, He won't send people. He won't always send you someone right off the bat. Because once you enter into a relationship and you haven't resolved and haven't laid to rest your sense of self-worth, then you'll be busy trying to find that sense of self-worth in the relationship. It won't be a matter of you loving and being loved. It'll be a matter of you trying to earn or control or manipulate or find a way to rest your sense of self-worth from the opinion of the one that you're with. And we've talked about this, touched on this in other broadcasts. I don't want to spend too much time here, but it'll be out of this, just this issue alone, it'll be this feeling of loneliness. And the sting of the loneliness is the self-rejection, is that you're not worthy of love, that you're not worthy of respect, you're not worthy of adoration, you're not worthy to be with anyone because you're too overweight, you're too unattractive, you're too skinny, you don't have enough this, you have too much, you know. And so, and there's where the sting of the torment of loneliness comes in. It's in your fight for your identity. You're taking counsel from demons, really, as they are condemning you, and you are accepting that condemnation. And sometimes you'll react to that. You'll react to that by either going into a depression about it or flinging yourself at all the wrong people. And it's really, the heart of it is, it's an identity crisis. You're fighting your sense of self-worth. You're in the battle for your sense of self-worth. And it's really amazing. I know folks that even enter into a business venture or any sort of a undertaking, an enterprise or challenge, and what they're doing is they'll throw themselves into it and they're fighting the feeling of identifying with being a loser. So once you assign identity, once you assign meaning to your loss, meaning to your failure, meaning to your rejection, meaning to betrayal, and you assign meaning to say that it's because I'm not enough something, I'm not enough this, I'm too much of that, then that's when you bring the battle to your own sense of self-worth. And the Lord often will, before He sends you someone or blesses you with a prominent ministry or business or career, He wants to settle this. Because if it's not settled before you put your hand to it, you'll spend your whole life trying to use that as a place of establishing your sense of self-worth, so that you're never able to smell the roses. You're never able to experience love and being loved. You'll never be able to settle down and live. You'll have a family, but you'll spend all your time at work. You'll spend all your time in search of your sense of identity, in search of the building of your sense of self-worth. And it's a sad thing. Now watch this. Once you assign definition, you enter into this, really what I call a ping pong match with yourself. Some folks will try to build themselves up and say, no, I am the man. I am beautiful. No, I am smart. No, I am successful. And they'll begin to try to identify with the good things and great things and successes. And the Bible says that, and as you're doing that, you're actually lifting yourself up. And this is what's funny. God will send you someone to tell you that you're worthwhile, to tell you that, hey, you know, you are beautiful, you're bright, you're smart, there's a great potential in you. And if you run after that, then you'll be lifting yourself up. You'll be trying to get that part of you fed. And the Bible says that when you do that, you get abased. You get brought low. Have any of you ever realized that? You get sort of ping pong. You have someone give you a compliment. You feel good about yourself. You begin to go after it. Maybe you go after the person that gave you the compliment, or you try to get lost in your gift or your talent, whether you're an artist or a musician or a career person or a corporate person, and you become a workaholic, okay? You become a workaholic, and really what you're doing is, it's really evidence of your sense of self-esteem, and you can never live, because no matter what accolades you receive, there won't be enough. It won't be enough to satisfy. So therefore, the Lord will leave you in the desert. Now listen to this. He'll leave you in the desert, the place that you don't succeed, until such time as He had time to establish your sense of self-worth. He does not want you finding your sense of self-esteem in the project, in the person, place, or thing, in the gift, in the ministry, in the business, in the career, in the person's, in another person's eyes. He wants you to establish it by faith. He wants you to make up your mind as to who you are. And often, He'll let you stay in the desert until such time as you resolve that. especially if you're a Christian. For the Bible said, for who the Lord loves, he rebukes and disciplines. He says, you're not bastards. So the Lord won't let you identify in your gift or identify in your strength, or you'll be glorying. It's a form of lifting yourself up, and it'll bring you right in line of being a base. You'll be brought low. And so one moment you'll feel high, you'll feel so high. The next moment you'll feel low, you'll feel so low, you'll feel a base. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds almost like the ups and downs of the bipolar. You know, sometimes a person can be mistaken as that. And really, it's a sense of low self-esteem. This is the other side of it. A lot of times when people are experiencing highs and lows, it all revolves around how they feel about themselves. They want to feel good about themselves. When times comes and God gives grace, you do feel high, you do feel good, but then you got, no, God wants you to identify with him in you and you in him. The thing that's good about you is God. One person approached Jesus and called him good master. He said, why callest thou me good? Well, there's only one person good, and that's God. Why wouldn't Jesus identify with the good? No, he's not going to identify apart from the Father. He said, I'm not alone. It's him and me, and I'm in him. He says the same thing. I'm in you, and you're in me. And so he's not going to identify with anything good apart from God, because he is with the Father, just like we're with the Son. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And so take on the compliment, all right, but give God the glory and recognize that it's him and you, and you and him. It's the mixture of him and you. Because if you identify in the goodness in an effort to escape the badness, you'll find yourself getting abased and brought low. So remember, as you identify in him and you, and you and him. And the gifts that you have are the gifts that he's given you, that he's adorned you with. They came from him. And so you give him the glory and the credit for it. So I want to say real quick about this hiding definition piece. Resist the urge to, when you fail, to begin to call yourself a failure, to begin to digest that. I would say it's like a digestion process. You know, the devil will put the thought in your mouth, and you can chew on it, but you have to actually be the one to chew on it or to digest it. One of the words for meditation, one of the translations, is to chew, like a cow does. And so don't chew on the negative thoughts, or else they will be affecting your sense of self-esteem. And you'll spend your whole life battling in the desert, looking to be free, getting ping-pong, okay? You know, you're certain to feel good about yourself. You do something, God blesses it, and suddenly you glory in it, and you get abased. And so now you're depressed again, and you're talking ugly to yourself and thinking bad. And you spend your whole life living in this same cycle over and over and over. And what God wants you to understand is, he wants you to meet it right at the place when the devil puts the negative word in your mouth. Resist the urge to chew on it. Resist the urge to meditate on it. Resist the urge to assign definition, to assign meaning. Well, I failed, therefore I mean a failure. Resist that urge. Begin to recognize the process that you're in. The Lord is wanting to rebuild your sense of self-esteem, and he's showing you how you can allow him. For unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And so the Lord is building the house. And so you're not going to build it trying to boost yourself up and say, no, I am the man. I am beautiful. I am smart. I am bright. There is greatness in me. No, no, no. You say, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I am more than a conqueror. God has given me the gift of music, and it's his gift. God has given me the gift of art. God has given me the gift, and I give you glory for it. And you stay, and you identify with him and you and him. You don't make an identity. You don't identify with just in the good. Because like Jesus said, hey, why callest thou me good? There's no one good but God. Okay. And so resist the urge to assign definition to the reason that you failed. Resist the urge to assign definition to the reason that you were rejected. Resist the urge to assign definition to the reason you were disrespected, to why you were betrayed. Don't come down and speak wrathful words over yourself. And depression is really anger turned inward, and we've talked about it in past broadcasts. Resist the urge to chew on those thoughts. Reject them right off the bat. Understand that, hey, you failed and you've lost a battle, but you don't want to lose the war by rolling over. Right now, the devil isn't doing too much fighting for those of us struggling with our sense of self-worth. He just gets the ball rolling, and we take it over and beat our own self down. Okay, we took over and dog our own self, and you'll look in the mirror and you'll say things to yourself. You idiot, you fool, and you'll be angry with yourself. You're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're a loser, you failure. And you'll say these things to yourself. And see, you're assigning definition. Resist the urge to do that. Recognize where you are. And the devil put it in your mouth. After a while, he doesn't have to put it in your mouth, because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it'll come up on your own, because you've already watered it and spoken to it and fed it. Resist the urge, okay? The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Resist the urge to assign definition for the reason of your loss. and instead of that, do something different. So instead of looking at the glass as half empty and calling it, you're half empty, you're not enough. See, a glass half empty, you know, you can look at life as a glass half empty or a glass half full. If it's half empty, it's not enough. If it's half full, it's growing, okay? You're a work in progress. And so you are enough. You're being made to be enough. And so you make up your mind in doing that. And this is how you do it. Now, this is very important. You do it by lifting up your voice and thanking God in the situation. Now, don't let these just be words that fall to the ground. I'm telling you how to defeat the feeling of low self-worth. I'm telling you right now how to allow the Lord to break the back of that in your life. Now, you have to listen to me. The Bible says that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's what that means. When you have failed, when you've been rejected, when you've been betrayed, when you've been disrespected, in that moment, when you begin to go off on yourself and you begin to chew on the idea of being a failure, you begin to accept that you're a loser. You begin to accept, you recognize what you're going on. And stop listening, stop taking counsel with demons and spit that stuff out. What I mean by spit it out, I mean you stop chewing on it. You stop meditating on it. You don't buy into it. You don't just give into it and just accept it anymore. You reject it. And you make up your mind, you're going to see the glass as half full. And you do that by lifting up your voice and praising God. Lord Father, I thank you. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what's going on. There's two people that will be in the wheelchair. One of them will feel like a cripple. The other one will go into races and push his body forward, and he's not identifying in that. He's finding a sense of self-worth, not in his weakness, not in his failure, not in his inability. There's another person that he's in a wheelchair, and he looks at what he can't do, and he identifies with being a cripple, and he becomes a cripple mentally. He begins to identify with being in that chair. And so the Lord is saying, no matter where you are, learn to not identify there. And often, as I said earlier, the Lord will allow you to remain in that desert place to establish who you are and who you're not for once and for all. Because if you're a loser and God promotes you, all you're going to do is make a mess. You're going to identify in it. You're going to get a base. You're going to do so at the expense of your family and even your relationship with the Lord. And it's a huge thing. There's something that the Lord is looking for in the desert. And what he's looking for is to you to make up your mind of the man you're going to be. To make up your mind of the woman you're going to be. To make up your mind, okay? And to make up your mind as to who you are and not to assign definition. So when the bad comes, instead of chewing on the negativity and the negative thoughts and meditating on the worst, lift up your voice in a loud voice and begin to praise God in the situation. You're making up your mind that the glass is half full and not empty. You begin to thank him, and you will see that feeling of depression, that feeling of low self-esteem, that feeling of low self-worth, you will feel that thing break over you. It will be an amazing feeling. You'll feel it dissipate even while you're doing it. And it's something you can't do in your mind. You take on an attitude of gratitude so that no matter how bad bad is, if you got to work with bad, I always say there's good in every bad and there's bad in every good. It's never all good and it's never all bad. But if you begin to identify with the bad, you will miss the good. And so you take time and you look at the bad. You don't ignore it, but you thank him in it. You thank him for the good in it. And even if you can't see it, you be grateful in it. You be grateful. You take on an attitude of gratitude, and you will see that feeling as you begin to praise him. Lord, I thank you. There was someone that I was counseling with not too long ago, and she was really uncomfortable with her body. And she felt like that she was never going to be with anyone because she wasn't enough. And I opened this up to her a few years ago, and I began to tell her to begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at yourself through the eye of faith and begin to praise God in it. And she began to do that, and then she began to, her attitude toward herself began to change, and her life began to change as a result. She's with someone now, and it was amazing. I don't know why I'm stuck here, but I know someone else that was uncomfortable with their body. And they were really, really overweight. And they began praising the Lord and putting makeup on and feeling pretty. And now, you know, since doing this and since making up her mind about this, she never has a man problem. She's always got boyfriends. And it was the same person that all through high school and even mostly through college, no one ever said anything to her until she began to look at things differently, until she began to see things differently. Because let's look at this now. You know, the Bible says that God does things for you by His grace. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now, grace is unmerited favor. What that means is it's favor, it's blessing that you didn't earn, that you're not worthy of, that you don't deserve. And so once you say, you know something, I can't have this job unless I go back and get my degree, then guess what? It'll be according to your faith. No, see, now it's your sense of self-worth. God says, no, if you have faith in me, then I will cause your gift to make room for you. And so God is saying, I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm not saying not to go on a diet. I'm not saying not to find the best you. But I'm saying, God is saying that it's by faith. And according to your faith, so be it unto you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so he has many of his people in the desert until this is established. Are you looking for a key? Are you looking for, okay, what to do to succeed? And you're ever searching, ever praying, ever researching what to do? No, no, no. You walk out what you know, and you continue to grow in your game. But once you ascribe yourself to saying, okay, I'm failing because I'm not doing this. Let me research that. I'm failing because I'm not doing it. Guess what? You'll never find God's grace. God says you settle your mind as to who you are in me. And you don't chew on the bad stuff. You spit the bad stuff out. You don't chew on it, and you certainly don't swallow it. Some of you have swallowed it. Hook, line, and sink. You've accepted that this is who you are, that you're a nobody, that you're a nothing, that you're a loser, that you're a failure. Other people have gone in the other direction. They live at the office. They live at the ministry. They live in the career. They live in their addictions because of the issue of the sense of self-worth. It is unresolved. And they're trying to identify. They're trying to find their sense of identity. And what happens is there's a gift in each of you, and you can cut yourself off from God's grace in that gift that would make room for you if you're out of faith. Because remember, you gain access to God's grace by faith. And if you're trying to earn it by dealing with trying to establish your sense of self-worth by it, then you'll greatly diminish the grace that's there. You'll greatly diminish the grace that was meant to settle you down and to give you a sense of peace within and without. God desires for good things to happen to you. He desires to, child of God, lift up your voice and praise Him. Even you out there right now, and maybe you're not the smartest knife in the drawer, you're not the sharpest tack in the drawer, maybe you're not the prettiest girl, maybe you're not the most educated man, and you're in a situation and you're looking at yourself and you're trying to identify by doing things to build your self-esteem. And God is saying, I don't want you trying to build your self-esteem. I want you to accept who I am in you and who you are in me. Make up your mind who you are, child of God, because that's what this is all about. Some people try to perform Christianity, but God says, no, you are a Christian. You accept who you are. It's all about how you see yourself. It's all about how you perceive yourself. God is saying, learn to make up your mind to perceive yourself in a positive light, to perceive yourself through the eye of faith. Make up your mind. I want you even now, child of God, those issues that you think that you're failing at and you're failing at, why, I want you to give Him the praise right now. Even for the trial that you're in, even for the handicap that you may have, begin to praise Him right now and let God maximize His grace to you, because no matter what the problem is, the Bible says that He abounds in grace. And so, yeah, you may have a handicap, but God is going to abound in grace in another every life to make up the difference. And that's what God does. He says those that are less attractive, those are less comely, God gives more grace so there's no schism in the body. What that means is there's someone else that might be really gifted and has a lot going for them, but there's someone else that may not be not nearly as gifted and not have nearly as, that much going on with them. God says that I'll give you more grace to make up the difference. So there'll be something about you that the people that are well-to-do and well-reputed and popular and powerful will need from you. Okay? That's what God does. So there's no schism. So the head can't say to the toes, I have no need of you. Because without the toes, they may be stinky and smelly. We hide it behind shoes, but without the toes, the body can't walk. God will have it so with an abounding grace. So you'll find that grace by praising Him in all things. identifying with him in you and giving him glory and being thankful and refusing to assign definition for your failure, refusing to assign definition for your hurt and for your pain and for your rejection. Yeah, they hurt you. Yeah, they rejected you, but that doesn't mean you're worthy of rejection. Yeah, you lost and you may lose a lot, but that doesn't mean you're a loser. That's where you draw the line. That's when you spit those thoughts out of your mouth. That's when you refuse to digest them, or you refuse to swallow them, and you begin to give God the glory and you begin to praise him, and you'll maximize, you'll allow God to maximize the grace and the gift that he has in your life. So begin right now thanking him. Someone right now is in a wheelchair, give him praise. Someone right now is homeless, give him praise. Someone here is struggling with addiction, give him praise. Isn't that what Paul did? He said he struggled with pride. He gloried in his infirmities. He began to talk about his weaknesses. He began to glory in him, began to thank God and praise him. And the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You will feel the experience of that lowness in you break. That feeling of low self-esteem break. That feeling of depression break. And you'll find the grace begin to come alive in you. You'll find his grace begin to operate in you. And all because you tapped into that abounding grace in your life. Paul said, I've learned to glory in my weaknesses. Because then when I'm weak, then I am strong. Oh, child of God, glory in your weaknesses, because don't identify with them, but glory in them. Don't identify and say, I'm a failure. Glory in them, because it's not you. It's him in you and you in him. And he's going to reveal that to you if you allow him. He's going to reveal himself in you and you in him as you allow him. Someone give him the praise right now. I know that you've been betrayed, but give him the praise. I know that you've been disrespected, but give him the praise. Don't digest it and assign definition and saying that I'm worthy of being disrespected because there's nothing good about me. I'm worthy of being of losing because I'm a loser. No, no, no. You glorify, Father. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I praise you, Lord, even for this loss. I thank you. And what you do is it seems hard. You're doing it by faith. You're not going to feel it. You're going to do it by faith, but you're going to feel something break. And some of you can't say, Lord, I thank you in this loss. But some of you say, Lord, I praise you in this place. I praise you in all things. But whatever it takes, go there, and you will find God's grace. And that feeling of low self-esteem will be broken in your life. And God will rebuild your sense of self-worth that will make all the difference in every area of your life. Oh, does someone know what I'm talking about? God's got a plan for you, child of God. So right now, that very thing that you've obsessed about, that you hate about yourself, that you've held against yourself, that you've cursed yourself about, that very thing that you've talked bad about yourself, begin to praise him for that very thing. That very thing is going to keep you. That very thing, that thorn in the flesh, is going to keep you in God's power and produce God's will in your life. Well, our time has gotten past us. But please like us or leave us a comment on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon, and God bless.